Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we have author Charmaine Hammond. She wrote the bestseller On Toby's Terms. She has two new books out, GPS, Your Best Life, Changing Your Destination, and Be a Buddy, Not a Bully. Welcome, Charmaine.
Thank you. Great to be with you today.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Tell us a bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I like to call myself the accidental author. And if there's authors listening, some of you might be able to relate to that, that I was extremely content with my role and profession as a professional international speaker and corporate trainer. And then we adopted a dog who inspired me to write a book, and his name was Toby. My first career, I should just mention, my first career was nothing to do with what I do now. I actually started my professional career right out of high school and college as a correctional officer. So I worked in the jail system as a correctional officer with adults and young offenders, and then found my passion for conflict resolution and crisis management, and went back to school and became a mediator and mediated some of the most difficult, complex situations in workplaces. And then along came Toby a number of years later, and that's when the writing journey really began.
So tell us about how Toby inspired you to write your first book.
Well, he was a dog who gave us a lot of content. He was a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, so kind of looked like a chocolate lab, and about the size of a chocolate lab. And he was 5 when we adopted him.
Oh, you keep going out. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry about that. I don't know why. He was a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, and he gave us lots to write about. He was 5 when we adopted him, and he wrecked our house, moved our furniture, took plants out of the pots, and wrecked our toilets. He broke toilet tank lids. And that was the beginning of the content to write a book. The reason I wrote the book On Toby's Terms was because in our journey to help get this dog's behavior under control, and I'm not a dog trainer, so we're just a family who wanted a dog in their life, we brought in a trainer, and she helped us discover that Toby was a dog who really needed a job and a purpose. And as we got him trained to be a therapy dog, and I went to the hospital every week with him so he could do his volunteer work as a therapy dog, my life started to change. He became a teacher for me. And that's really where the inspiration came, that I wanted to share this experience with other people.
Wow. And when you started writing it down, was it, did you have a background in English, or did you just start off, or did you write before?
I love that question because, no, I had no clue how to write a book. I'm being 100% honest here. I really had no clue. And what was interesting is that all of the Toby series of books are published traditionally. And what started to happen is when I decided to write the book, actually I hadn't decided to write a book. I had decided to write a story about Toby in Chicken Soup for the Soul. And it got accepted. And then I thought, oh, this is great. Now what do I do? I'm published. What do I do? And I went to a book signing because I thought, what do authors do? They sign books. So we went to a book signing, and it was such a great success. We had so much fun, and Toby the dog was potographing books. I autographed, and he potographed them. And you can imagine he was a great little sales dog. And, you know, I thought, wow, this is a lot of fun. And I was really appreciating how the written word, whether in that book it was a memoir, but the written word can really help impact people's lives. And then I met a publisher, and she said, you ought to write a book about Toby. And I said, well, I don't know how to write a book, and there is no book. And she said, well, get writing, because I'm sending you a contract on Monday. And she did. I had to learn about the publishing world then.
Wow, that's really unusual.
Very unusual.
It doesn't usually it's the other way around. Usually we're chasing after the publisher, the publisher isn't chasing after us. That's That's unique.
It was very unique. And, you know, there was a lesson in that, Sherry. Part of the lesson for me was that when we really get clear on our goals and our focus and our purpose and our passion, and we sort of put a stake in the ground saying, this is what I want to do, this is what I love to do, sometimes opportunities start to show up. And that was my case. From that moment on, I had a whole bunch of wonderful things start to happen. And I believe that part of it was that we were so clear on what I wanted to be doing at that point and what really gave me joy in my life.
Do you read books? Are you a reader?
I am.
What kind of books do you like?
I love books. And, you know, I'm going to be honest. I haven't converted to the digital books yet. My books are all available in digital forms, but I love the feel of a book in my hands. I love the smell of paper. I know that might sound weird.
Me too. No, I'm there with you. That's the way I am, too. I don't think I'll ever convert because I just love books.
Me too. I like carrying them around. I like having shelves full of them. And I read all kinds of books. I have some favorite books from when I was a little girl. I used to read Enid Blyton was one author I loved as a little girl. And I also used to read some books from Britain because my family is from Britain. And as an adult, I read all kinds of books. I like to read memoirs. I enjoy hearing people's stories. I like to read personal development, professional development books. And I enjoy books about different communities and places that we travel so I can learn, you know, what the place that we're going to is really like.
That's really cool. Are you a history buff? Do you like to read about history or do you watch the History Channel?
I like history. And, you know, I grew up in a family where when we watched TV, we used to watch a lot of shows that had to do with history. And my dad really enjoys certain parts of history as well. And Mom always bought us books about history when we were kids. So it is something that I enjoy reading about. And one of the things that I love to do in our families, I have great storytellers in my family. And one of my favorite things to do with my grandparents was to have them tell me stories of their family and to hear the family history.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember my grandma doing that too, telling us some stories. It was like we loved that, you know. At least me and my brother did. I don't know about my cousins, but my brother and I really loved to hear that. We're both history buffs. That I think that's ingrained from your parents because you said your parents did that. My dad and mom loved history, so I guess if you get that from your parents, you get a natural innateness for it.
Yes. Yes, I think so. I remember when I was a little girl, my grandmother, when she came from England, she had all kinds of pioneer clothing, really. They were really, old clothing and all these petticoats and the little boots that you had to lace up. And I remember being a little girl and somebody asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up. And I said, I wanted to be a pioneer. And one of my classmates, I just thought that'd be the coolest job ever. I was in grade one, so I didn't really get it. And my grade one classmate told me there wasn't jobs for pioneers. So,
in space.
That's right. So I do enjoy history.
Oh, that's funny. Do you have an era that you prefer? Would it be the pioneer era, or is there another era that you prefer?
I think that's the era I prefer. I used to, you know, as a little girl, I used to love watching shows like Little House on the Prairie, and would love it when my grandparents would tell me stories that they were raised with, so going back a few generations. And I think that was probably my favorite era.
That's interesting. Since you were traditionally published, how do you feel about the different forms of publishing?
I think that's such a great question. And I actually do have a self-published book as well. It's called Bounce Forward. And that book is a book that I wrote to help the corporations and businesses that I provide training and speaking to. And so my goal with that book was very different than the goal with the traditionally published books. And one of the things I know for sure is that regardless of whether an author is published traditionally or self-published, really the bulk of the marketing belongs to the author. And one of the things that I've really loved learning, we have an incredible publisher that really has become a mentor and a guide for us. And, you know, she always tells us that there's so many things that publishers can do to help an author sell their book, but there's nothing richer than an author standing in front of an audience or being at a table at a book signing, and people get to meet that author and build a relationship with the author and really get to know that person as a person behind the book. And that, you know, that's what really sells books, is those relationships. So I've learned a lot about both self-publishing and publishing, and the biggest learning for me was always the amount of work that an author will do on marketing and promoting their book and building a platform, being able to stand out as an author and get noticed.
That's true. It's very true. Can you give us a little taste of your book? Not read from it, but just give us a little taste of the audience can take something away. And what do you want them to take away from it?
Sure. Well, I think the books that we were talking about today is GPS Your Best Life, and I love that book. It's a book I co-authored, my first co-authored book, and the other author is Deborah Kozowski. And that book was born over a cup of coffee at Starbucks, and I bet there's listeners listening today. Maybe you've done this, Sherry. You go out for a cup of coffee with the intent of it being sort of a 45-minute visit, and 4 hours later, Deborah's family were calling her. Her kids say, "Mom, are you ever coming home?" And Deborah and I learned that we had a lot of similar approaches to how we deal with life, and that's where the idea for GPS Your Best Life was born. So that book is really a personal and a professional development book, and you can think of it sort of like the roadmap to life that we all wish we got, but that life doesn't come with, because, of course, we have to build this roadmap and the instruction manual along the way. So that book helps people get really crystal clear on their goals, be able to create a map or map out the plan to achieve your goals, and then how to navigate around all the obstacles that crop up in life that can sometimes block us from reaching our goals. And that's the essence of that book.
And your other book, the Be a Buddy, Not a Bully, was that published by yourself or with someone else?
That was written by me, and Be a Buddy, Not a Bully is a children's book, so, of course, a different genre than the one we just talked about. And that book is for really kindergarten to grade 2. It's the second book in my children's series of books, and it is based on our dog, Toby. So we're in the conversation about bullying, but more so what it means to be a good friend and what it means to be a buddy, not a bystander, and not a bully. And one of the things that I love about this book is at the back of the book, we included a number of questions for parents, grandparents, and teachers to be able to have conversations with the children around these important topics. And with a lot of the book reviews that we've got and teachers that are using the book, they really appreciate the questions. So if there are authors listening, one of the big learnings for us, all of my books have some form of questions. The adult books have book club questions, and the children's books have questions to ignite conversation. And that's been really well received, and we keep receiving great feedback on that. So for those of you writing a book, thinking about writing a book or updating a current book, that may be something to consider.
That's interesting. That's an interesting idea. What's your biggest satisfaction about writing your books? How do you feel? Was it like Christmas, you know, when you got it? I mean.
It was. I remember the day my first box of On Toby's Terms, the very first book I wrote, came to the door, and my husband met the courier outside, and he carried up one box of books. There were 32 books in a box, and he got the X-Acto knife and cut the tape open. And I remember my first thought being, wow, books have new book smell. just like cars have new cars now. And then I kind of held it in my hand and looked at it, and it's something really, you've experienced this too, I know, Sherry, when you look at that book and it's got your name on it, it seems a little surreal at first.
Yeah, yeah. I think my greatest pleasure was giving a copy to my parents and my brother when my first book, you know, just so it was like, here, you guys inspire this, and here, this my gift to you. You know what I mean?
It's yes.
The people that helped you, it's beyond words, really.
It really is, and you know how much goes into writing a book, Sherry. I mean, in all honesty, again, a real time to be authentic and honest here, I thought that writing the book would actually be the really tough part. And then when the books arrived that day and I, you know, had a happy dance in the kitchen and phoned everyone I knew and sent everybody copies, of course, I think I gave away the first 100 books, and then my husband said, are you ever going to sell any of these?
Sell any.
And I thought, of course I am. And then I, you know, really it was, wow, how do I do this? You know,
yeah.
and the journey
marketing.
To learn. Oh, marketing.
That's the hardest
so right.
thing. It's so much harder than writing. It's a job unto itself.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a lot of work and something that we have to spend time on daily. And it's not even just marketing your book. It's also building your platform as an author, because the world may have known me, my clients knew me as Charmaine Hammond, the professional speaker, but now I'm adding in and author. So, and in many cases, the people who read my books are very different from my corporate clients as well. So
yeah.
Having to make a place for yourself in the world, it's a big learning curve.
I have a question about that, because when you go speaking, you're public speaking about, you know, doing all these different kinds of things. Did you have to change your speech patterns when you started talking about your book as opposed to professional environments? Because you're talking to grandmas and children. I mean, you're not talking to a bunch of corporate types when you go to a book signing or an author's seminar or something like that.
Yes, yeah, that's a great question, Sherry. That was one of the learning curves. So I remember my most intimidating presentation ever was 700 kids that were in kindergarten to grade 2. They were my toughest audience ever. And I remember I'm like 7 minutes in, and one of the little kids at the front says, excuse me, miss, when will you be done talking so we could just play with the dog? So that was the indication that, okay, I really need to change my presentation here to engage these children. So I went away and did just what you said, Sherry. I had to change some of the languaging, and I had to find ways to engage the children in those presentations where I could easily keep the presentation moving forward, though, and keep sort of order in the gymnasium. And then at book signings, what I love about those is it's just a chance for an author to be in a conversation with people. So I kind of always think of myself at a book signing like I'm at a coffee shop with people that I already know. And that's kind of the way I approach the conversation. And people really want to hear the story. You know, even though they're going to read your book, they want to hear something from you as the author about your story or about your book. And they love to listen to that. So I kind of changed from doing readings to actually just storytelling, sharing a couple of my favorite stories out of the book verbally with them.
Yeah, and also I think when you do that, because I've done both, and I think it's better just to do that because you're connecting. There's more of a connection when you do something like that than when you're sitting there and you're reading the book. It's like,
yes,
I could do that.
Yes. I agree. You just raised something really important, the power of connections and relationships. And I didn't understand when my first book came out how important that was. And people get a lot of joy. I remember the first time somebody that I didn't know asked me to sign their book. And I remember her being so excited, and then the little girl that was with this lady showed everybody, look, the author signed my book. And in my head I remember thinking, you know, it's just me. And then I thought, wow, you know, what was it like for me when I went to book signings and I had an author sign a book? It was a really special moment. And
oh, yeah.
So I really believe in what you're saying, Sherry, about the power and value of these connections we make with people.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely do. I have another connection question problem
mm-hmm.
that I wanted to ask you about. When you are writing, how do you find the time to do that and still have time for your family and your friends? Do you have to, like, make deals with them?
Mostly I have to make deals with myself. One of the things that I learned in the process is that, first off, I learned that I was a perfectionist, which is not a helpful skill as an author, because we often just keep changing and changing and changing the book and waiting for it to be perfect. And it almost caught, you know, it could have cost me a contract, because I was negotiating time. When it was time for me to press send and send the book to the publisher, I actually went on the time zone page to see what time zone she was in, to see if that would actually give me another hour. Craziness. And the good news is I've grown and changed a lot since then. But part of what I discovered is that this was actually my husband's suggestion. He said that, you know, what if you try and set blocks of time in your planner where this is just your writing time, and whether you write one sentence or one chapter, that's the time that's designated for your book. And so he actually helped me create a writing schedule that balanced with our relationship, our family and community commitments, but also kept me accountable to myself and my book.
That's interesting. How about when you're in the middle of writing and something comes up, is that something that you deal with? What I mean is, I sometimes find myself getting upset. I'm in the middle of something and somebody calls, and it's just an innocent call, but you're like, ah! Do you ever feel that way?
One of the things I had to do was actually turn off my phones and turn off my email and social media. I had to actually sort of check out of all technology, because I would get distracted and it might break a line of thought for me. So that was part of the learning. I had to do that. The second thing I did that really helped me, and again, this came as a suggestion from a friend of mine. She said, why don't you just have an idea book? Because I was often getting distracted by ideas. Somebody would say something to me and then my head would sort of take me down this path of what they had just said, and then I start creating ideas, and then there's a new book, and you know, and I'm still working on a book. So I had to actually learn to if the distraction was not people but thoughts, I would just put those thoughts and ideas in what I called my idea book. They were written down, and then I could get right back to writing.
And what about people?
And with people, I learned that sometimes we have to ask for help or ask for space. Sometimes, so where we have to say to people, you know, I'm on a deadline right now, or a commitment to myself, and I need an hour just to do this, and how can we make that happen? And really negotiating time with them, and like I said, I had to just remove some of the distractions, such as turning off my phone, so that people just couldn't phone me. I would listen to the voicemail later, and that was what worked for me. Otherwise, I would pick up the phone and be in conversation, and then have a tough time getting back to that focus point.
You have an announcement to make about your books.
Yes, and this is the first time I'm putting it out there publicly on a radio show. We just found out, Deborah Kozowski and I, who wrote GPS Your Best Life, just got word last night that our book won a bronze in the Reader's Favorite Award. Woohoo! And then, thank you. And then my children's book, Toby the Pet Therapy Dog Says Be a Buddy, Not a Bully, that won a gold in the Reader's Favorite. So
right.
Very exciting news.
That is so cool.
Thank you.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you. They're a great awards program, by the way, Sherry. I don't know if some of your listeners are familiar with them. Reader's Favorite, they do very thorough book reviews for authors as well. and post the reviews on Amazon and Goodreads and Barnes and Noble,
Charmaine?
And on their website. Yes.
Oh, you went out again. I'm sorry.
I don't know what's going on.
I know it's been doing that. I've been trying to. If it's not that big a deal, I ignored it. But can you repeat the name of the organization again?
You bet. Reader's Favorite. So Reader's Favorite does amazing book reviews for authors, and there's no cost for the book reviews. They post the reviews on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads, and on their website. And the other thing is that they have an awards every year. They are now open, I think, already for 2014 awards. And there's many different categories. So if you have a novel, a cookbook, a self-help book, a children's book, there is a category for you. And I found them very professional to work with.
Cool. So hear that, all you writers out there.
Reader's Favorite.
Yes. And I'll try to get the information. I'll put it on my blog. Also, what are you working on now?
Well, I'm just working on putting together a book tour and for our Toby children's book. So learning how to put a book tour together. The learning as an author never stops. And I'm also working on a new book for my corporate audience. So the training and the speaking that I do around conflict resolution and being resilient, I'm working on a new book to be able to help build those skills in workplaces.
Sounds very interesting. So do you have any other exciting announcements that you'd like to make? Because we only have 3 minutes left.
Any other? Let me see. Other than, you know, our book on Toby's Terms, we are working on making that into a movie, which is really exciting. It's a long process. And, you know, I'm certainly always open to authors if they ever have questions about what I've shared on the conversation today with you, Sherry. I welcome them to get in touch with me on social media or through our website as well.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. You were telling me some stuff about, we don't have a lot of time, but you were telling me some stuff about doing the deal for the movie and stuff. Because most authors, myself included, thought, oh, they buy your rights and then boom, it's everything, you get like a percentage, everything's cool. And you were saying,
We had a big learning. We've been blessed to be able to work with some incredible people. And one of the learnings is if your goal is to get your book turned into a movie, I highly recommend that authors at the point where someone is looking at your book to become a movie or a documentary or a TV series or a video series, there's going to be a contract that gets developed. And I really urge authors to be able to go and get good legal advice and have a lawyer work the contract with you. That way an author is making sure that the integrity of their book still stands and that their reputation is upheld, but also that the contract is written in a way that really protects the author as well. And so we've learned a lot about making sure, same with publishing contracts. If you're looking at a publisher, it's really helpful to get good advice, legal advice, around understanding the terms in a contract. And what's so important is so that you know what not only your rights are, but also your responsibilities and your commitments. And that's been a big learning curve for us through this journey, but one that, you know, I'm really glad that we invested in because it's really helped us understand that side of the business. And, you know, really having a book, there is a business side to it.
That's really exciting. I mean, it's such a cool thing, but, I mean, it's so interesting all the stuff that you went through for so far, and you're still in the process.
Exactly.
Well, we're out of time. It's been fascinating. I really enjoyed it. I hope you did too.
I did, Sherry. I enjoy working with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next week, we're going to have Sasha T. He's a painter. He's going to be talking about his art and how he gets his inspiration. It's going to be very interesting, especially for artistic types out there. I'd like my live audience to thank Charmaine for a really wonderful interview, and I'd like to thank you, too.
Thank you, Sherry. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.